The epistle upon duty read for the circumcision of our Lord is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope of the coming and the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. The grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the beginning of a new year is a very serious matter for each and every one of us. Because the number of our years in this world are very few. All of us have awakened today to see the passing of one of those few years which form the short span of our life. It is a year that has gone never to return, and now another one commences. We are all, each and every one of us, old and young alike, one stage closer to our eternity. And truly, this is a very solemn thought. Even if we were sure of how long our life would be, it's even more of a solemn thought that for some, the year that has just arrived may be the last. There's no one here present who has seen the opening of this year who can truly look forward with certainty to the end and the close of this year. We have only to think of the members who have passed away this year, who saw the beginning of the year, but have not seen its end. So each and every one of us should ask, will we be numbered among those who will see the end of 2017? And the answer to that question only God knows. He keeps the times and the seasons in his merciful hands in his own wisdom. But instead of pondering this sober thought, we should ask a question of ourselves which we can answer and which we can make practical in our lives. If I should be called during this new year, will I be prepared? This is the question we should ask ourselves as we begin another year of our journey towards eternity. Today, the anniversary of the beginning of a new year is a grace that our Lord has given to all men. Those who are living in the habits of sin or the neglect of their religious duties or the slothfulness of their spiritual life, those who have become lukewarm in their prayers, the practice of the faith, those who have been given themselves to ease and comfort. Now they have begun a new year to overcome the occasions of sin, so as not to add another page of crimes to the judgment book of God. This truly is a grace that we must not neglect. It's a year which God has given to us, and we should heed the words of St. Paul, to renounce impiety and worldly desires. For in these words are summed up all the evils that we must avoid to gain our eternal home. Impiety, which is sinfulness, and worldliness, which is living for the world and not for God. Today is a day in which many resolutions are made, and the most important of which, for those who have been living lives of sin, should be the resolution to renounce the habits of sin. If souls have been given to pride, now is the time to practice and make the resolution to practice humility, to imitate the example of our divine Lord who lies in the stable of Bethlehem. Pride is the very beginning of all sin. And so he who came to redeem mankind would begin our redemption by humbling himself to the lowest depths of self-abasement. And if we would reform our lives in real earnest, we must begin by humbling ourselves. If we have a desire for worldly goods, now is the time to be poor in spirit. If we have been guilty of impurity or inordinate pleasures, now is the time to become pure and chaste in mind and body. If we have harbored anger or spiteful and revengeful feelings, now is the time to learn from the Sacred Heart, to be meek and gentle and forgiving. If we have hitherto been addicted to intemperance, now let us learn to live soberly, as becomes Catholics. If up to this time we have been envious or jealous or fond of our own will, now is the time to learn to submit to others for Christ's sake. If during the past years we have been slothful and neglectful of God's service, now is the time to be zealous and to labor more diligently for His honor and His glory. We must make these resolutions and begin these resolutions by renouncing worldly desires. My dear faithful, it is not enough to renounce sin. We must also renounce the world and its temptation. The world is ever seeking to drag us along with it in its current of its practices and principles, which end in perdition. St. John says in his epistle, "For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, and the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life." If we want to avoid falling into the abyss, we must abandon all sympathy and approbation for the world and its evil principles. We must set ourselves resolutely against them and against the insidious attractions and the desires which the world uses to ensnare us, against its vile books and its magazines, its tabloids, videos, amusements, and so on. It's not enough, however, simply to renounce the two great evils of impiety and worldliness, but we must also set ourselves to live in a practical way, to live soberly and justly and piously in this world. To live soberly by avoiding intemperance and all excessive indulgence of our lower appetites. And we must live justly by doing the works of justice, not only in our relations with our fellow creatures, but by giving to everyone his due, but also in our duties towards Almighty God, by rendering to him that service and that homage which he justly claims from us. We are his creatures, and we owe him above all else love and honor and respect. But not only are we his creatures, we have been purchased by his most precious blood, and therefore we belong entirely to him, and we owe to him our devotedness without reserve. Today, the first day of a new year of grace, it is our solemn duty to renew our resolutions, to discharge our obligations more faithfully during the coming year, to use the year to draw closer and closer to our own sanctity, to use this year, which will soon pass away, and will be ever closer to eternity than we are today. We must live piously. That is, not by being satisfied with doing the bare minimum of which is of the strict obligation, but we should devote ourselves wholeheartedly to Almighty God who loves us so much. He came into the world as a little baby, and he hung upon the cross for our redemption. Today, as we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord, It is today he began the spilling of his blood for our sanctification. We should not be satisfied with hearing Mass on Sunday and holy days of obligation only. We should strive to assist as often as we can. For as it says in the sacred scriptures, the just man shall scarcely be saved. How we need the graces that flow from the altar, the fruits of our redemption gained by our divine infant Savior, to be used by us to become perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and to save our souls. We should find the greatest happiness to be able to come and to assist at the sacred functions throughout the year. If we've not made the first 9 Fridays in honor of the Sacred Heart, make the firm resolve today to begin this Friday. If we've been able to make the 5 Saturdays in honor of the Immaculate Heart, make the resolve today to begin with this Saturday. If we have been lax in coming to All-Night Adoration, to make reparation for our countless offenses and sins, to come and comfort the Sacred Heart, which has done so much for us, make the resolve to spend an hour before the Blessed Sacrament this Friday. We should find the greatest consolation in coming to our divine Redeemer, in pouring out our petitions to him who continually dwells in the tabernacle, patiently waiting for our hearts. We should not be satisfied simply by making our Easter duty and receiving the food of our souls once this coming year, but rather we should prepare our souls so as to receive the food often. For a soul which hungers after the bread which comes down from heaven and is not satisfied will soon become weak and die. Each day when we pray thee, our Father, we ask for our daily bread. And while we are desirous for the bread that perishes, we should be even more eager for the bread of life that nourishes our souls unto life everlasting. None of the prescriptions set forth by the great apostle to the Gentiles are impossible to fulfill. It may seem difficult to our corrupt human nature to renounce piety and impiety and worldliness and to live soberly and justly and piously in this world. But by the supernatural grace of the divine infant child, it's easy for men of goodwill. And that's what the angel said unto the shepherds. Peace to men of good will. And that is the peace of heart. The peace of heart of living soberly and justly and piously. We've been given the very lesson by the Son of God himself who lies in the manger of Bethlehem. He stretched out on a bed of straw, teaching us by his own example the lives we ourselves can live by his help of his grace, his childlike innocence and guilelessness to teach us to renounce impiety, his voluntary renunciation of all earthly comforts and even necessities teaches us to renounce worldly desires. His life and his example have made it possible and easy for us to live soberly and justly and piously. He came to set the example, and the grace that he gives enables us to follow that example. Those who may not find themselves and feel strong enough to walk in his footsteps need only approach the crib humbly and confidently and implore the infant Savior for the graces necessary to lead good, holy, Catholic lives. But humble, fervent, and continual prayer is the one efficacious means that we have to change our lives and to render ourselves conformable to the likeness of Christ. If we make our resolutions and we find we are slipping and not keeping those good resolutions, the answer is because we do not pray. It's because we make the mistake of a momentary enthusiasm for a true conviction of heart. My dear faithful, there can be no real perseverance, and no real conversion of life without prayer. Pray that you may put into practice the good resolutions which you make today of spending the coming year more profitable for your salvation than all of the preceding years, that you may with confidence look forward to the blessed hope and the coming of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to welcome you into his eternal kingdom, where there will be no more time, but only the happiness of the blessed. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.